us today on the summit is dirty power expert or dirty electricity expert, Terry Stotine. Terry, welcome to the summit. Thanks for your time for being with us today.
Hey, Josh. Pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Great. I'm going to share a little bit with our audience about you and your background. So Terry Stotine has been a controls, electrical, and HVAC tradesman for approximately 40 years and is an expert in solving the problem with dirty electricity or dirty power caused by so-called smart utility meters and other devices. As the president of Kratos, Terry has been actively helping individuals and companies lower their utility bills, protect their appliances and equipment, and improve their health by cleaning up the dirty power in their home and doing so at the root level. So Terry, just before we get into this whole super interesting conversation, which actually dovetails onto a very effective and fundamental solution for smart utility meters, I want to first of all ask you, what in your view is the connection between 5G and so-called smart meters?
I think that presently there is no connection because it's all got to do with the data that's produced and the way it's sent right now to the power providers. But I think that via the Internet of Things over the next few years and how everything evolves and changes, that it definitely will have. It'll all be tied together.
So tell us, how did you get into this whole thing with your background of your technology that you've been servicing companies for decades and with smart meters and dirty power?
That's a long story. Basically, I was a contractor for many, many, many years, mostly HVAC and controls. And quite a few years ago, I was approached by who my partner is now to bring this product out in the open into North America that happens to be around, our product has been around for 35 years, the technology of it. And I basically travel extensively in North America, soon to be Europe. Traditionally, I do a lot of PowerPoint presentations for companies and CEOs and you name it, engineers, electrical people, explaining the merits of what's happened with our power over the last 100 years and how it's affecting us now and how it affects basically our electronic and our electrical equipment, how that's changed. And we all know how our electronics has changed, but the focus on companies and militaries and governments is they spend billions of dollars on equipment, on process equipment and sensitive electronics, and they need it to function like it was intended to function, not without all the harmful effects of the dirty power issues now that costs them money in downtime. So that's traditionally been my focus company-wise.
So you're working with big Fortune 500 companies,
corporations. Right? Okay. That's right. And so that's what I do is I travel around and I give presentations to people and testing for them and to prove, you know, what's going on and then prove our product. And we're very effective at doing that because of what our product does, and we can get into that after. But a few years ago, I was approached by a gentleman by the name of Brian Thiessen, who's out of Kelowna, that was big in the power smart meter industry, the anti-smart meter effects, and a couple of doctors down in the States that I don't even remember their name, but I remember getting emails from them, and they asked me about my product and whether it would be effective in dealing with the issues with the smart meters. And honestly, Josh, I had, at that point in time, I had no idea, and I thought they were pulling my leg, Brian included. I said, like, when they were explaining to me what the smart meter does and the issues that it has, I literally started laughing. I thought, there's no way that, like everybody else, our government would do that to us or our power providers.
Somebody's... Little did you know.
Yeah, you know, so I had no idea, and when I took it upon myself, I had a friend by the name of John Watt that is a good friend of mine. He's been in the microwave industry for 50 years. And so we put something together where we started to test buildings in Vancouver, and we started in East Van in a house, and literally within an hour of testing, I was shocked. I actually had to sit down, and I thought, there's no way this could be happening. So over a period of weeks and months, we continued our testing process, and we went to various properties around BC, and pretty much all came up with the same results every time we hooked onto houses with the smart meters, and we even hooked onto some with at that time they were still employing them. So we hooked onto some of the analog meters, and we still got effects coming into the houses. And then it just kind of catapulted for me. I started continuing to do testing, but at the same time, I started to wonder what was out there that was helping the problem. And I never tested our product for quite a while until we finally did and realized just how effective it was at these finer frequencies. But yeah, it's been a long process with the smart meter technologies, and a shocking one. That's what really got me.
Yeah, I love that you were super skeptical at first. You know, that's how I started too. I just wanted to get to the bottom of it when you hear these stories. And so we'll get into a little bit later, like some of the testimonials and some of the experiences you've had.
Sure.
That when I first learned about it, what you're doing and the effects, I felt immediately just a resonance with it. Like I had to help get it out. But let's go back to establishing a foundation. What is dirty electricity or dirty power?
Okay, dirty power and dirty electricity has a lot of different names. But in reality, dirty power consists of line voltage transients. Transients are the root cause of dirty power. People talk about harmonics, they talk about all kinds of, those are conditions of. But dirty power is really transients, whether it's line voltage transients, or it's the higher kilohertz or the higher frequency transients. Transients are the key.
What is a transient and where does it come from?
A transient is anything that impedes the flow of the normal sine wave flow. Sine wave is our energy, voltage. Now, it's a spike. A transient, in reality, is a spike. And the spike is made or induced from anything that switches, whether it's a light switch, a motor starting and stopping, contacts up and down that are turning on, turning off. What you're doing is you're breaking and starting and breaking the power so that it causes these spikes. Now, these spikes can be very small. They can be from a few volts up to thousands of volts or amps. And in the line voltage side, the regular power side, lightning, which, you know, suppression and filters were made for originally, but transient spikes are the root cause, and they are the issue with dirty power.
Yeah. Okay. So just let's dive into this a little bit more. So something with, is it called a switch mode power supply? Like we talked about that briefly in Take Back Your Power. Does everything that converts AC to DC or vice versa have a switch mode power supply? And is that essentially the thing that chops the sine wave that creates the spikes on that ride on the 60 hertz or 50 hertz in other parts of the world on that cycle?
Yeah, the switch mode power supplies, everything that's electronic has a switch mode power supply in it.
Okay.
And so because they operate on DC power, direct current, not AC power, alternating current. So everything electrical, whether it's a hair dryer or a curling iron for our wives or anything that's digital, our phones, our chargers, everything is got a switch mode power supply. The difference is, and everything that creates a transient, I'll go a little deeper, creates RF and EMF, but what they do is they put small chokes usually in behind all these little appliances so they don't dump back onto the power. The switchable power supplies in the smart meters, they switch often. They're constantly turning off. It's like a chattering effect. And because they don't have any chokes or RF filters built into them, they're cumulative. So everybody within the grid gets everybody else's energy.
Okay.
And it climbs.
Okay, so we're just going to pause here and show a really quick clip with a couple years ago, health and safety advocates Warren Harding and EMF specialist Paul Harding. Warren Woodward and Paul Harding put together a video in which they showed on an oscilloscope smart meters and dirty electricity. If you haven't seen it yet, take a quick look and we'll be right back.
So we're going to attach this to now we're going to measure electricity running through the smart meter, all right?
Okay.
Right now the switch isn't thrown. As you can see, there's nothing happening. Okay. So we're gonna turn this on.
Whoa. All right.
So we've got quite a
look
bit of distortion.
Yeah.
Going on. All right.
And that tick, that's the smart, listen to it.
Yep.
Wow.
So we're gonna try to catch it when it transmits.
Yeah. That didn't look like that when we just had, we just had the analog going.
Right. So I've had enough of that.
That was a lot of transmissions too, in just a small amount of time.
And we're seeing this with the new the new smart meters.
Yeah, they're more active.
Much more active.
Yeah.
It's not just the 900 megahertz that's
the microwave.
That's the microwave effect. But this effect is much greater. So this is not like your baby monitor. This isn't like your cell phone. This is like no other device you're exposed to, because it's using all the wiring that travels through this panel as an antenna. So it's an energized antenna.
Because it's connected to it.
Correct. It's the largest antenna, and you're exposed to this 24/7 if you're in the house 24/7. This doesn't stay in the wiring.
Right.
It actually radiates 6 to 8 feet from the wire.
Many people involved in the smart meter issue are focused on the 900 megahertz frequency, which is the microwave transmission, but none of us knew that there were these other frequencies sort of hidden in that and are being transmitted as well. So in my opinion, this is why people are getting damaged, why people who previously could handle all their wireless gadgetry, their Wi-Fi and their cell phone, and then when they get the smart meter in their house, all of a sudden their world falls apart.
Okay, so there we saw visually on the oscilloscope what happens when a smart meter transmits or emits wireless radiation. And is it that the wiring is an antenna and it rides that antenna signal? Is that part of the problem in addition to the switch mode power supply itself? Help us understand at a deeper level.
Okay. Now, a transient, like I mentioned, can be thousands of volts, or it could be 10 or 20 or 100, depends on the frequency and the voltage and the switching action and the load on the other side of it. So as a transient, which is a spike, as it rises to the peak, it creates RF, or a kilohertz frequency. As it reaches its peak and drops, it creates magnetism or EMF. So that's why the transient is so important in dirty power to go after, because you don't want that in your system, and it's like an unwanted characteristic of the switch mode power supply that is causing us the issues. And because there's so many of these transients happening over continually, it's basically coming in and riding right on top of our power line. And then it uses all our house wiring as an antenna. And when it hits the panel, it just splits and goes to every circuit. And so it uses basically all our house wiring, like they mentioned in the video, and it emits from the walls at a 90 degree lateral. And we get it, you know, for 6 feet where it's penetrating into. It's like living in a microwave.
So it's kind of it's other frequencies other than the 60 hertz cycle that's used, and it's also wasting. It's not only like emitting from the walls and you know, causing harm according to the science, right? Like there is science that indicates that these frequencies are harmful. Yeah.
The kilohertz frequency is very harmful.
Yeah.
The United States government's known about it since the Second World War. The Russians have used it as weapons. The kilohertz frequency breaks down our human cell structure. So the kind of frequencies that these give off is the kilohertz anywhere from, you know, a few kilohertz right up to 10 megahertz. There's a broad range in there that happens from the smart meter. And, you know, it's harmful to us. And you pay for it. It's on top of your power, which raises your levels.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So it's basically this wasted electricity that isn't really usable, that is just, you know, emanating from our walls because we haven't figured out how to get rid of it yet. So that's, is that, number one, is that one of the reasons why people's bills have been going up sometimes extraordinarily when they get a smart meter installed? And number two, what happens when they clean up the dirty power? What happens on their utility bills?
Well, interestingly, I get asked this question every day. And because the old analog meters were not, they were just a device that monitored the power. They basically, everybody had five little dials on there, and they knew that the faster those dials spun, then they were in for a big bill. But their voltage levels were fixed. They were fixed at 120 volts RMS of the sine wave, and they had to adjust their billings accordingly. Like, they couldn't charge when they were calculating the kilowatt hours. They couldn't charge for anything more than 120 volts RMS. Now, the top of the sine wave is actually 173 volts, so is the bottom of it. So, in essence, it's the root mean square. It's like an averaging value of the sine wave. And with the smart meters, with the induction of the smart meters, they, because they're so sensitive, they can react and show, and they can read all those peaks of the transient levels. So those transient levels could be 400 or 500 volts. If you've got, maybe your neighbor's a welder next door, or maybe you've got a lot of air conditioning in your house, your compressors are starting and stopping. So you're going to have very high peaks, transient peaks on your sine wave. And accordingly, Hydro can now, or any power provider, can read the tips of those peaks. They're no longer held to 120 volts anymore. They could be charged at 250 or 350 volts times the, you know, the amps they use, and they calculate your bill that way. So you're paying more.
So utilities force smart meters on people, which not only increases the problem of dirty electricity, along with the other infrastructure that, you know, outside of the home that comes in and adds to that dirty electricity, but it begins to charge for that dirty electricity or dirty power, even though it's not usable.
Well, they used to have to go to utility commissions to get a 1% or a 2% raise hike on their rates. They don't have to worry about that anymore. They get it automatically with the smart meter.
Okay. So, Terry, tell us more about the RF, the radio frequency, and the EMF caused by the smart meter.
Okay. Like I mentioned earlier with the transient spikes, at RF on the climb and the EMF on the decline. Now, my experience on testing is that the strengths of the RF in particular, the kilohertz frequency, will climb throughout the day. It can range anywhere from, in volts, it can range anywhere from, on average, early in the morning when everybody's power systems aren't active, everybody's getting up, getting ready to go to school, it'll go anywhere from, say, 2 to 5 volts peak to peak on the sine wave. And then throughout the day, it'll fluctuate depending on what happens in your immediate grid, on your transformer grid, because you're all tied to everybody. And it'll climb up to 11 or 12 or 13 volts peak to peak. But at night, later in the afternoon, and we studied for 24 hours, So we did a number of those tests, and we found that anywhere after about 4 o'clock, 3 to 4 in the afternoon to 10, 11 at night, that could climb as high as 30 volts peak to peak. In the States, in a lot of areas, in the U.S., 40 volts. Now, that's pretty significant when in the testing and the research that I did, anything over 2 volts or 3 volts peak to peak is considered carcinogenic in the kilohertz frequency. So it's important to note that we're tied to everybody by the smart meters. Everybody on our immediate grid, like I mentioned earlier, if your neighbor's a welder or they got a lot of equipment or you don't know what's going on next door, because all this kilohertz frequency travels on top of the wires, it all comes into your house.
So you're saying that even if you get or preserve your analog meter that doesn't emit RF, it's still coming through, that you still have that in your home, sure. The dirty power.
And it doesn't necessarily have to come in on your lines, on your voltage lines. It can come in from your neutral and your ground as well.
Well, let's dive into that. The line to line and neutral and ground, and looking at what is the difference of plug-in power filters and an actual suppression device, like what you're doing.
Okay, before we talk about that, I think it's important to note that in an average house, we have two legs of power, which they call legs of power, or two different wires coming into our house that have 120 volt power on them. And then we have a neutral leg and we have a ground wire. So there's always excess current when we utilize something that it turns to amperage and we use that power. There's always a little bit of trickle that's not used. And the intent was it was supposed to go back to our neutral wire, which went back up the pole to the transformer and tied to all the common neutral wires and went back to the power provider. Well, that's been grossly undersized for many, many, many years. And the power providers, they changed the codes because the neutral and the ground bars within our panels used to be segregated so that the neutral could carry out and the ground was always grounded to a ground rod or a plate. Well, because they're overloaded, they basically bonded the neutral and the ground within the panels, and that's why we have so much ground current now outside, and some people more than others. And if somebody has old houses, the grounding wasn't done properly, maybe they put a ground to a water line or a gas line, and then maybe 10 years ago it got changed from the city, and then they went to plastic, so they really don't have a ground. These are all issues that if people have electrosensitivities or they have issues in their house, they really should get a qualified electrician. And I tell people all the time that you need to really go through your electrical systems if you have problems to make sure that your bonding and your grounding is done properly. Because no matter what kind of filter or suppression unit you use, it won't do much good if you don't have proper grounding and bonding done at the house level.
Now, so, Sam Milham, who wrote the book on dirty electricity, he has said that he's measured before and after where so-called smart meters go in, the ground voltage wherever they're installed increases measurably. That seems to line up with what you're saying, right?
And, so everybody, we have plug-in filters, we have filters that... whether they're small units, you have to differentiate the difference between suppression units and plug-in filters. The plug-in filters are, it's not that they don't work or that they're not good or they're bad. They just, they have limitations to them as to their capabilities as far as the whole frequency spectrum that you need to basically protect that we're getting from the smart meter. Typically, the smaller ones, I could be wrong, but they usually stop around 100 kilohertz, and there's quite a bit of activity beyond the 100 kilohertz right up to the megahertz. So you know, they get some of it, but perhaps not all of it. But and because they're a plug-in unit, they are tied to different legislation and basically rules of the electrical industry, because they're just a plug-in filter. Ours are wired into the panel, into the power, so we have a whole different set of rules. And the smaller ones are, you know, they do the job for what they're intended for, but they do it differently. Usually they move the energy through capacitance or capacitors over to the neutral wire. And so people don't see that, you know.
So it doesn't effectively fully get rid of the dirty power?
No, what it does is it shifts it, has a tendency of shifting it, causes a lot of harmonics on the neutral wire. Harmonics in turn, harmonics basically in turn cause heat in windings of motors and the ground and the neutral bonding and things like that. So it's not, there's a lot of different products out there that do it. And I mean, I don't really, I've tested some, I don't really say yay or nay whether they're good or bad. I just know that when you wish to get at this problem of cleaning dirty power, and like I mentioned, it's transients, that's what we do, you have to clean every bit of the power. You have to clean the lines, the line to line. You have to clean the line to the neutral. You have to clean the line to the ground, and also the neutral to the ground. Because, like I mentioned earlier, you can get dirty power coming in from not only on your lines of your power, but you can get it from your neutral and your grounds as well, even the ground current, the stray ground current. So it's very important that you are able to, whatever you use for a unit for cleaning this power issue up, you have to be able to cover all the modes to do it effectively.
So there's essentially four, you know, combinations, or you could say channels, that come into your home that you need to, in order to clean the dirty power properly, you need to clean all four of those channels, for lack of a better.
And a lot of people, I get a lot of calls all the time from people that want to go off-grid, or they want to go gensets, or they want to go solar, or they want to go, you know, whatever. They have inverters in them that convert to AC power. They're phenomenal for putting off transients and RF. So, you know, just going off grid, I've had many times where people have gone out and spent a lot of money on a generator, and then they put it down next to their power, they put on switching gear, manual switch gear or whatever, that they can turn off their power from their power provider and then go through their generator, and they think it's clean power. Well, it's not. And secondly, the switch gear maybe only breaks the two lines, but doesn't break the neutral and the ground. So they're still getting off the grid, they're still getting dirty power coming in from the neutral and the ground wire.
Okay, so anyone going off grid, whether it's or partially off grid, either or, needs to clean up their power in order to be essentially have optimal health and safety in their home. Is that
exactly
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's very important. It's extremely important.
So you work with a very respected electrical engineer named Bill Bathgate. Yeah. Now Bill has produced over the past few years documents basically tearing apart and analyzing smart meters, and he has a very high level of understanding. He's very respected within the movement to, you know, the movement for safe utility metering. What information has Bill realized, or what's some of the feedback that he's getting from people that use this technology that you're talking about to effectively suppress the dirty power?
I started dealing with Bill probably about a year and a half ago, or almost a couple of years ago now. And Bill is very highly respected. He has a great pedigree. He's got he's an engineer by trade, electrical engineer, and he's a very knowledgeable gent. And we share, we talk a number of times a week. He actually, Bill came to me quite a while ago and said, you know, Terry, I've been testing for this stuff for a long time. And he said, I've never, ever seen a product that can mitigate this crap off our lines more effectively. So he basically has come on board with us for, he is, you know, a U.S. distributor for us. And, but he's just, you know, we share information and our knowledge from our testing and all the time. And I'm constantly getting reports and videos and test results from him. And basically, I think what pleases me the most is, you know, for the last 6, 7, 8 years, I've been dealing with companies about saving them money. And and here I'm dealing now that what I like even better is that when people come to me and say, you know, I can sleep. I don't have migraines. I don't have, you know, my children aren't sick. That means so much to me. It's much more rewarding to me than anything when somebody can, when they come to me in tears and say, you've changed my life because I thought that, you know, I've moved away and I just can't, I moved away and kind of got off grid and it didn't help me. And now I'm good. I feel great. So, you know, that makes it all worthwhile for us.
That's really great. It's kind of like, it feels almost like the missing piece. If someone really wants to mitigate the harm from smart meters or from being on the grid, they haven't known how to effectively clean all of the channels, you know, and then clean up the inverter from the solar if they're going solar. So this is almost like the missing piece. How many devices are you actually installing per month, let's say, at this time for people's homes?
Hundreds a month. It's getting busier and busier and busier. I'm actually selling as much these for the personal side now as we are industrially and commercially worldwide. So it's getting very busy. People are, the name is getting out there, and I deal with people every day by email. They get on our websites and they read, and typically they want more information, and we supply them with it, and then they end up purchasing.
Something that over the past few years since releasing the first edition of Take Back Your Power, I've started to realize is it didn't seem to add up in terms of the health effects and the health, in other words, the health effects seem to be more from smart meters than one would think scientifically based upon the intensity of the microwave transmissions. For example, they still are getting sick if the meter is either on a pole or at the far end of the house and they're sleeping over here. So I started to realize that, you know, started to ask the question, well, what if this dirty power situation is actually more of a factor than the pulsed radio frequency emissions from the smart meter? I still just as a disclaimer, I'm not saying one way or another. I'm saying I'm seeing tons of evidence that the dirty power is a significant factor. What's your perspective on that?
Very much so. Until, like I mentioned earlier, until I studied it, I had no idea. I mean, I was dealing with line voltage power, and that was our job, to clean up line voltage power. So, you know, when I got into the root of the problem from the smart meter, I'm in agreement with you. I think that the kilohertz side, the RF, the EMF, the magnetism, you know, and throughout the day, like I mentioned, it can get stronger, and it emits, it comes out through the wall at much stronger levels, and it'll decrease and increase. So I think there's a lot to it. I think that there's much more to it than people understand. They're worried about cell towers, and they're worried about, you know, which they should be. I would never live next to a cell tower, but now with 5G coming in, I think it's going to be almost impossible to get away from it.
Well, that's why we're having this summit, so that we change
that. That's right.
We don't want anybody to live next to a cell
tower. Yeah, it's going to get stronger and stronger, but I think that the power within the walls, the corrupted power from the smart meter, is a huge detriment to our health. I've shown it in my tests, and many other people have. This is not just me because I sell a product, but the 5G network and even the 4G, the 5G, it's like you mentioned earlier, it's all coming. It's all tying together because this is a global initiative. This isn't something that's just brought into BC or certain states. It's worldwide. I'm going through it now in England and the France and Sweden. And so everybody's feeling the effects.
Yeah. So another question about smart meters here is we have, over the past few years, we've seen numerous incidents where there's been fires and explosions either on the meter, the smart meter, or on the appliances in the house after people have gotten smart meters. And sometimes, like, entire cities, like Stockton, California, for example, 5,000 meters exploded all at the same time. Does your technology mitigate that kind of harm?
It mitigates the transients. It takes the transients away, which are causing the multiple. They're not, I'm not going to say they're not causing the fires. I have a different, my idea of what's causing the fires is that the smart meters come out with a very thin posts to plug into the receptacle. Now, the analog meters came out with quite a thick post, and they've been there for, 20, 30 years on people's houses. So when they pull that off, those posts are designed to have a fairly thick post from the meter to be plugged into them. And the smart meters are very thin. So I believe that when they plug them in, and most of the people that are installing these smart meters are not trained electricians. They're not, you know, they take a 1 week course and the power providers put them to work. So when they unplug and then they plug it back in, they're creating, it's what they, you know, it's like a hot shoe or off. They plug it in and it's live because they don't go in the house and turn the power off. And there's a gap. I believe that in a lot of houses that are burning up, that there's probably a gap between the terminals, and it's arcing and it's creating heat, and that's what starts the fires. Transients coming in, that like Stockton, that would have been a major transient that comes in and hits them all and causes them all to burn up. That's probably in the thousands of volts, like a lightning strike. Yes, our product does that. We have two levels of protection. Suppression was originally devised or was originally made or designed by our people in Florida 35, 40 years ago. And it was made for lightning, like I mentioned earlier. And so it was our industry, the suppression industry, has done a deplorable job over the last 30 years of staying up with the times. Our engineers were able to see the need for the electrical microprocessor computer side of it years ago, and they came up with this special protection circuitry in addition to the lightning protection.
Okay.
So that's what makes us so effective.
So with regards to that incident in Stockton, just one of many examples with multiple explosions and fires, what happened was a truck hit a utility pole and then the lines touched from the higher voltage line to the lower voltage line, right? So in that case, if somebody had protection, like your sign tamer unit, on their home, would that have protected the damage from happening?
Yes. Yeah. Probably 98-99%. Okay. If anything, if it's a major one, it will sacrifice itself before it allows it through.
Okay, and now just to get back to the fire question, in your best understanding, what you just described and how you see the fire problem related to smart meters, how effectively does your sign tamer unit protect from the risk of fire?
Well, the sign tamer deals with the power coming through.
Yeah.
If you have a joint outside on the other side of the wall that is arcing and causing heat, that's going to burn it up. The sign tamer is not going to do anything for that. Nothing will.
If it's on the other side of the unit, which the meter is, right?
That's right. Your sign tamer is mounted right on your panel immediately coming in from the meter.
Okay.
So if your meter is going to burn up because it's arcing, there's nothing in the world that can stop that. But the sign tamer will take everything that's on the power. It'll take it away.
Okay. So I know you don't talk about this sort of publicly. You don't claim a significant percentage that someone's utility bill may be lowered after they get this device installed, the sign tamer device. But typically, just tell us like a ballpark, is there any change in people's utility bills, whether it goes up or stays the same or is lowered?
I've never had, the sign tamer product draws no power. All it does is monitor the power. The only power it draws is to light two little LED lights to tell you that they're lit and it's functioning. I've never had an instance in the last 3 years where I've sold a product to somebody for their house that they haven't had a reduced drop or a drop in their utility bill. I've had them right up to 50%. So, you know, it depends on the amount of equipment they have in the house, depends on this, you know, the smart appliances, what they have, lots of air conditioning, pools, pumps, you know, you name it, right? Heat pumps. You know, I hate to give numbers because people come back and say, well, you know, you told me I'm going to get 20 and I didn't, I got 18, you know, so, but I've had them right up to 50% on a power bill, which can be pretty significant. But, and I tell people that the sign tamer is extremely good, if not the best product in the world for cleaning power with transients. I mean, we are the standard in the industry in the world for a reason. And up until now, with this issue, with the smart meters, the single biggest issue that they should want to be dealing with is to get rid of that dirty power for their health. The cost savings should be a bonus. And because the warranties are extremely long on our units, they're 15 years, unequivocal, there's no hidden, you know, prorated things. You know, we stand behind that product, and we have very, very few failures. So, you know, the single thing that they should be looking at is their health, and that's worth it all.
Yeah. So it's basically a lifetime. It's the installation is effective for the lifetime of the house.
Sure. Usually, people don't stay in houses longer than 15 years. And if you move, you take it with you. I don't care.
There you go. Okay, and then before our conversation, you were telling me, like, you're now getting CEOs of large companies, I mean, contacting you not only to protect their equipment, but on the health side, right? Which mm-hmm. is really encouraging. Tell us about that.
I've had one lately from a large airport that is extremely interested in making their buildings clean and safe for people. EMFRF, they want it safe, and I don't blame them. It's going to be where I see this industry going in the next few years. Health Canada, up until Christmas time, the World Health Association classified the electrosensitivity disease to be at somewhere around 12 or 14% for the last couple of years, and at Christmas time they bumped that to 35%. Worldwide for electrosensitivity. So I see buildings, and I've been getting feedback already, contractors are lining up now that are starting to, they're going to be building houses and buildings now, protecting from EMF and RF and from shielded wire within the walls. You know, it's going to be costlier builds, but they're going to build safe, clean buildings power-wise. So I firmly believe that's where the future is going to go. You know, painting of special paint on walls and special glass, special everything, because this problem is going to increase exponentially over the next few years when 5G comes out. So, you know, we're going to be overburdened with airwaves, radio waves, microwaves, let alone what's in our power generating off the walls.
So we'll just pause this conversation right now. We'll just share quickly an example of your sign tamer unit and with oscilloscope visual readings where you can see the dirty power before and after. We'll be right back.
Prior to the sign tamer box, I was had atrial fibrillation. I was diagnosed with that, which can cause a blood clot to the heart, lung, or brain. I could not sleep. I was fatigued. I constantly heard a humming noise, buzzing sounds. And since the sign tamer box was installed, all that has disappeared. I was getting heart palpitations all the time. I couldn't sleep. Now I hardly get any heart palpitations at all. And I'm sleeping better, and I just feel better. Before the sign tamer was installed, this is—
Can you hold it up a little higher?
This is what it looked like.
Yeah.
And this is 4 volts peak to peak.
That's quite high.
After the sign tamer box was installed, now we're less than 1/4 volt.
Can you bring it closer to the camera? Yeah, it's pretty flat.
Yes.
So the dirty electricity has gone away.
Yes.
Okay.
And I hear no more humming sounds. I can't explain it. It's kind of like a peaceful— it's like changed my life, seriously. And I would highly recommend this to anybody that is suffering like I did.
There you go. That's good. Okay. And then you showed me a picture of what it was like after we put the sign tamer in. How much improvement?
Much improved. The buzzing is gone. The filter's been on for maybe like 6 months, and it's working great. I have more than one person recommended you to, and I know you've been out there, but yeah, I highly recommend you.
Okay, thank you.
I had very bad headaches, chest pain, nausea, fatigue. I was so sick I couldn't live in the house for 2 months. But when I came back, I developed cardiac arrhythmias within 2 weeks. And we were very fortunate that Bill came shortly after and was able to install the sign tamer, because that made a big difference in reducing the chest pain went away and the arrhythmias improved.
Even though my mom had the opt-out meter at her house and I wasn't able to sleep, it was just like the days when I did have a smart meter on my own house, totally unable to sleep. Then it came and we had the electrician install it that afternoon. That very night, I could sleep like a baby, and every night for the rest of the week, I could sleep just fine. It was magic.
That's good.
So Terry, you mentioned tracking. Tell us, what is the tracking characteristic of your product?
Well, our stuff is our typical suppression device that everybody else makes that we invented. If you take a look at the sine wave, and I don't have any charts in front of you, but if you take a look at the sine wave, and you take top of the sine wave and the bottom of the sine wave, the peaks, those are at about 173 volts. So what they did and what we did 35 years ago is we put a clamp up there probably at 400 or 500 volts above and below the bottom of the sine wave, and that's where the suppression devices work. And that's where the good majority of them still work. They may try to pull those clamps in tighter to the sine wave, but they can only get, you know, maybe at 100, they typically don't get any more than within maybe 50 or for the most part, the lowest I've seen, I think, is about 180 volts, somewhere in there. So that spike, whatever it happens, that transient spike, has to hit 14 years ago. They could see where the microprocessor stuff was going and the finite items involved with it. So they decided, they came up with a special tracking circuitry that it's called frequency attenuation, that basically goes right above and below the sine wave and follows it very close. It tracks it. Because the old fixed clamping, everything within the sine wave is untouched. Within those clamps, no matter how close you try to clamp it. So what we do is we track it. We follow it above it and below it. So that's why we get it down to an almost zero level.
So that's why we see on the oscilloscope readings of that sine wave how tight it is, how clean it looks in comparison to the before pictures.
Like, look at this. This is an actual one from Bill Bathgate. That was before.
Yeah.
And this is hers after.
Okay, so before one, the peaks that we're seeing is just the transients isolated.
Yeah,
okay.
He's got a filter in there. The yellow line is all the peaks coming from the smart meter.
Yeah.
And that's what we do after.
Wow. Yeah. So there's, I think there's a lot of people that are going to be, they're watching this talk right now, that are really interested to learn more and to get one of these devices installed. Tell us, just walk us through like the first steps and how that happens. Does somebody, how does the SignTamer unit get installed?
Typically, like I'd mentioned earlier, when people express interest in it, I tell them to make sure that their house wiring, I'll give them examples, I'll give them a sheet. I tell them to make sure that their electricians check their grounding, their bonds, make sure they have a proper ground wire that goes out to a plate or a rod. It's not tied to a pipe, not tied to this or that. And to eliminate a lot of the stuff that they have in their house that is causing a lot of the issues, the non-linear stuff, the LED lighting that they paid so much money for that they find out now is so harmful for us. You know, the fluorescent lighting, things like that. Anything there, the dimmer switches that chop the sine wave that cause a lot of garbage on the power lines. So to go through the house, there's a lot of building biologists out there now that systematically go through somebody's house and look into changing things for them to make it better. So once they do that, then I tell them, okay, now if that's the case, then you know, you can order a unit, you can hire your electrician. I give explicit instructions on how to install it properly. I have them take pictures of the install with the panel off to make sure that it is installed properly, view hundreds of pictures a day. And then I'm in touch with them. Usually they contact me by email or through one of our sites. We just kind of make it as simple as we can for them.
Yeah, good. So just kind of wrapping up here, my partner in this summit, Sayer G, Green Med Info, and I and you have had a number of conversations over the past few months. We've been looking into this dirty power problem, especially as it relates to smart meters. And I just have to say, like, from my perspective, this is the best solution for solving the dirty power problem at the root level. And I have, just as a filmmaker and an intended solutions provider, this is only the second product, really the second specific solution that I'm really putting my full weight of standing behind. I really believe in what you're doing, Terry. I've seen the videos, and I've seen Bill Bathgate's site comparing different technologies, and actually with the testimonials of people whose lives are changed. So we are putting our full support behind what you're doing. And there's a link that we're encouraging people to go to learn more or to purchase a SignTamer unit from you. And I'm just really excited about what you're doing, because really it's about taking back control of the health in your own home first, right? Mm, and then get healthy, get your family healthy. We're understanding this problem at a deeper level, which we didn't have access to this information 6 years ago when I made Take Back Your Power. We were just kind of discovering it, right? And through like trial and error and synchronicity and like, you know, people coming to you and you're like doubting that smart meters could cause those problems, and then you try it and then they get better. It's pretty significant. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your work and your service. You know, I appreciate your sincerity. Is there anything you want to share in closing with the viewers today?
To start with, I really appreciate you getting a hold of me to get on this. Anytime I can reach more people with this information, the better it is for them. And I really appreciate what you've done, and I welcome and I thank you very much for your support. If they want more information of the SignTamer product, they can go on to, we have a new website that is fairly, we did it to make it fairly simple for people to understand. It's called poweremt.com. Simple as that. And or they can go on to creatuscanada.com, and there's Creatus Canada has more technical articles under the smart meter section. And but that site is going to be redone here shortly, but the Power EMT is very good. On the Power EMT site, there's a testimonial section, and there's pictures of a before and after, and some pretty compelling video as well. So on the testimony website. And by all means, they can get a hold of me through email from there. There's phone numbers, and we can talk. But I really very much appreciate the opportunity. Thanks a lot for this.
Absolutely.
Thanks.